From the bayous in Louisiana to the timber country up north, you'll find them out on the trap line chasing furs to put up on the board. Mixing up another batch of that magical stuff, chilling around the fire after the show. Hey, it's Sarah and Jeff, and maybe a guest on the Trappin' Radio.
Welcome to Trapping Radio. Jeff and I are here, and I know it's been a minute since we've done a live show. I think the last show Jeff did was he didn't have power, right?
Yeah.
That was a big ice storm here in northern Michigan. Miserable for you.
I'm still cleaning up.
Still, yeah. There's still broken tree branches in the yard. We picked up a few the other day, and you know, once you go without power for 2 weeks, it creates a big mess. And you're still, it takes a long time to recover from that. I mean, you lose 2 weeks of time.
Yep.
And in your case, it was 2 weeks of putting up bobcats.
Yep.
And
that's why we're still putting them up now.
Yep.
They'd have been done 2 weeks ago.
Yes. What do you, you just got the last of the bobcats out yesterday?
Yep.
Finishing them today.
I got the last six out on the stainless steel table and going to flush them and put them on the stretchers. Here's, as soon as we're done with this, that's where I'm heading out before it gets dark.
Yeah, Jeff went to town, got some groceries, brought me back a coffee, and said, let's do a podcast before he goes back to Bobcats, and I go back to folding t-shirts for conventions. So, it's almost convention season. We're right on the cusp.
Hard to believe.
Yeah, time just flies. So our first one will be Pennsylvania, and we'll be leaving here mid-June. I think it's June 13th, 14th, and 15th, or somewhere around there to Pennsylvania. So that'll be our first show, and we do have several of them. Got a list right over here. So Pennsylvania will be our first one, and then Escanaba, Michigan is the UP, the NTA is in Harrisonburg, Virginia, the Fur Takers of America is in Spencer, Iowa, and Minnesota Convention is in Wadena, and Michigan Convention is in Everett, and then we'll be at Herkimer for the New York show, the Wisconsin show, Indiana, North Carolina, Illinois, the Southeastern NTA, and then lastly Tennessee, and then trapping season starts.
Well, the Tennessee and North Carolina ones, we have to check to see if they have any space available.
True.
We haven't talked to anybody, but
we'll have to call Harold.
We'll have to call Harold.
If you've been to a show, you've probably met Harold, because he would have passed out a flyer asking you to come to the North Carolina show.
Yeah.
What a great spokesperson for the association.
Yep. Yeah. They're with his coonskin cap on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when we tell Harold that we might be coming down there, he'll probably, like, fall over.
He'll be so excited.
He's had to have asked me 1,000 times.
Oh, I know.
Be like, don't be lying to me, boy.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was Nebraska or North Carolina, so
yeah, I wasn't driving to the other side. As I told you, I wasn't driving all the way to the other side of Nebraska. If it was on the eastern side, we'd be probably going to Nebraska.
Yeah. Yeah. But maybe next year.
It's 8 hours from Des Moines, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just kind of jumped on here, didn't really have a plan. Just Jeff and I were talking about just looking back at our season, and, you know, for me, our season, I can't even hardly remember it, but we started in New York, Fisher trapping, and
that seems like 5 seasons ago.
I know. I mean, I can barely remember. I mean, I can remember it, but I can barely remember it was, I thought it sounds like it's forever ago, but We started there, and then we went to Iowa. We did some coon trapping, back to Michigan to the lure shop, back to Iowa for a little bit of coyote trapping around Christmas, and then back to Michigan.
What was the, after Neo, was it, I don't know, we trapped a couple cornfields here in Michigan.
That was before we left for New York.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been constant setting traps since basically October 15th, right on through to the end of April.
Yep. I mean, because then we spent pretty much, we left here toward the end of January and then spent all of February into March in Texas and then a little bit of Arkansas. And then back here for some beaver trapping. You had the ice storm that kind of messed up catching some good northern Michigan beaver.
Yep, the ones that are still worth decent money.
Right. I mean, because you had what, like, it was like a massive amount of rain. You and Haggerty set some traps.
I can't even remember how much. It was like 5 or 6 inches of rain, and it just kept freezing in the trees. But the roads were fine, so we're still setting traps. And then all the limbs in the trees started, like, sounding like, you know, bombs going off all through the woods. And so we're like, yeah. So Haggerty wanted me to come down to his house, and I'm like, I'm not leaving here. You know, everything I pretty much own is right here, you know, and
You stuck it out.
Yeah, I'm not leaving. So he went down. I told him, I said, there ain't no sense both of us suffering. So he went back home and then came back like a week later, but the power still wasn't on. We got all of his traps pulled because they were all flooded.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know how I am. I like to set traps. I don't care if it's pouring down rain. I just want to set traps. So we probably shouldn't have been setting them. But anyways, all the beaver we got were good. And we caught some otter. And Haggerty took those. So
I was in Wisconsin at the women's camp with power and having so much fun. I did feel bad for you a little bit. A lot. But I was glad I wasn't here.
Yep.
But from there, I went to Iowa and caught quite a few beaver in Iowa. And then back here, and the season was over.
Yep. Yep.
So it's been bobcat put up, and you've been dealing with some meat, getting the meat ready to go. And
yep, getting the meat all ground up, and then the grinder broke down, so we're trying to get that fixed.
The mower broke down.
All the fun stuff broke down. But
so I guess
the fleshing knife never breaks down. It just keeps fleshing.
Mm-hmm. And if it did break, we're right by F&T. I mean, yeah. We're 10 minutes from F&T.
So
there's no excuse not to have materials for trapping.
Yeah, and if it was an emergency, we could make it there at 7 probably.
Mm-hmm. And even if it was a bigger emergency, I bet you could get Ralph or Sean to open the door and get us a knife after hours. No excuses around here.
I think Sean would. I don't think Ralph would. But
I guess we circled. There's a long way around of kind of what me and Jeff were talking about a few minutes ago, was just looking back at our season and looking ahead into next season and just talking with you guys a little bit about, you know, if you weren't happy with your season last year, now is a really good time to start thinking about your upcoming season. I mean, we're just, a lot of the trappers like ourselves are finishing up in the fur sheds, and you'll be seeing end of the line pictures, maybe, maybe not. Yeah, you'll be seeing our picture.
They're starting to pop up.
And, you know, just to kind of talk a little bit about not comparing yourself to their trap line and their pictures and focusing on your trap line. And if you're not happy with how it went, you know, what can you do for next year? And, you know, going into spring and summer, you know, that's all the time you have. And then fall, your season's going to open. So just, you know, me and Jeff were kind of just talking about what can you do to get ready for next season. And obviously conventions would be a great first choice. You know, a lot of the times at conventions, if you're needing traps or supplies or baits or lures or, you know, shirts and apparel, things like that, you can get at discounted prices at conventions. And not only that, I mean, you get to meet a lot of people, right, Jeff? I mean, that's where we've met some of our very best friends. Yep.
Lifelong friends. Yeah, we've met there.
I mean, that's the nice thing about a convention is you can go anywhere on the fairgrounds. You know, if you're having lunch, you can sit next to somebody and talk about anything. Yep. I mean, everybody is very open-minded and friendly. And, you know, even if you're not, quote, a social person, you can still meet lots of new people and take advantage of conventions. And,
you know, and in the same thing in the tailgate area, you start looking at different stuff and you'll find people of similar interest of what you're interested in. And, you know, I've had lots of good conversations with people in the tailgating area because everybody's just kind of laid back in that area. And, you know, it's not like in the main building where, you know, everybody's, you know, pushing through a lot of times at the busier shows. And, you know, and everybody wants to go to, you know, like the Nationals will be fun to go to, but, you know, sometimes going to the smaller shows like Illinois or you know, Indiana show, you know, the you got more time to sit around and talk, you know, and less, you know, there's less stuff there. But I mean, it's the same stuff that you would have got at the Nationals. It's just you don't have 42 dealers with the exact same thing, you know.
For sure. I mean, I just talked to somebody today and asked if her and her family was going to a Minnesota show. And she said, no, we usually go to the Wisconsin show and haven't been to the Minnesota show. And so even if you haven't been to a show, your state show, like you were saying, in a while, you know, give it a try. And like you said, it's way more laid back and a lot of times more enjoyable.
Yeah. Yeah, we have a lot of fun, you know, especially like the Minnesota show. We always have, you know, fun there, and, you know, we really like the people. And, you know, this year will be a little sadder because our good friend Buzz passed away. So, you know, we were hoping to get to see him there. And, you know, so, you know, that's the thing is you go out and meet all these really nice people. And, you know, I mean, if we hadn't went to the Minnesota show, we'd never got to, you know Buzz. And, you know, he'll be in our memory forever.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he always took care of, his passion was the vendors. Yeah. And so he always, you know, took really good care of all of us vendors and made sure if you were good to him, he was good to you. But if you were shitty, man, he didn't let you, he put you in a shitty spot.
Yeah. Yep.
And so anyway, he was always really good to us, and he had cancer. And this last show, he brought his entire family to the show, and I don't know if they had ever been there, but he was so proud. He brought his family, he introduced his wife and his daughter and his grandkids, and just introduced them to everybody and made them come to our demos and sit through the demos. I don't think they cared anything about it, but he was sitting right there next to him, and he was so proud to have him there. And yeah, I mean, it's not just like a good old boys show. I mean, it can be a family show if you include the family.
Yep.
And a lot of times, even if it's something where it's just you have always went and your wife has never came or your daughter, all it takes is just to ask them if they'd like to come. Sometimes they just need an invitation.
Yep. If you don't invite them, you know, then it's always going to be the way it was if you don't make a change. And, you know, that's the thing is you get your whole family there, and, you know, even if you don't want to hang out with the kids, you know, where they drive you crazy or something, I mean, you know.
There's other kids there. Yeah, turn them loose.
Yeah, I mean, lots of people just turn their kids loose, you know, and it's not like most of them aren't like wild crazed. There's a few that you see once in a while, but most of them are just, you know, good kids. And you know, when they lay their head on the pillow at night, I'm sure that they're just zonked right out, mm-hmm. you know, so I definitely, you know, would say if you're going to come to the convention, definitely bring your kids, because I know going with my dad, you know, as a kid to the conventions and stuff, I always remember that, and I got the pictures of me in the trap setting contest as a kid, so, you know, it's it definitely, if you take them, take lots of pictures and video and stuff, and, you know, something you'll always remember.
Well, looky there. Here comes our girl, Maddie. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
We are recording a podcast here, so.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Maddie, bless her heart, she's our little worker here, and today is Sunday, and it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and Maddie just showed up to work. So, bless her heart, she works Monday through Friday, and she works so hard and keeps us all organized, and man, I wouldn't know what to do without her.
No. She's been a blessing.
Yep, so we're, like we said, frantically trying to get ready for conventions, and Maddie knows that and offered to come in both Saturday and Sunday. So she'll be in the background just kind of folding some shirts. So there's a whole pile of them there for her. And anyway, do you have any questions, Maddie?
I don't think so.
You're good? Okay. Well, folks, this is real time. We're still running a business here. Trying to, you know, and that's why, you know, we sometimes go MIA on the podcast is because we're just so busy and we do need to slow down and talk about it, but
it's because I mean it's like you put up the videos and different content and you know I mean you only it's hard to do everything you know but like you were saying earlier you know with people wanting to have a better season you know getting back to that people want to have a better season next year, like you said, you know, maybe your better season is just go out and, you know, try and trap one mink. Mm-hmm. You know, that might be somebody's goal, or like you said, you know, maybe somebody wants to catch 100 coyotes. Don't catch 100 coyotes. Catch 99 or 100. One, if you say, I caught 100 coyotes, it sounds fake. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know.
But, I mean, you can set your goal at that. And if you come up at 91, be on, you know, that's the thing is.
Always being honest about it.
You know, not trying to sound better. But, you know, I think it's great to set a goal. And, you know, I wanted to catch a fisher this season. And I caught one fish. I was good, you know, caught the one. And like you said, it doesn't. Your season doesn't have to look like somebody else's. It can be what you want it to be. Maybe it's just to go out and set a trap.
Yeah.
Maybe a lot of you have set traps in the past and haven't set for several seasons. And your mindset is, oh, it's whatever, XYZ. But find the joy in going back out there and you'll remember why you did that in the first place, why you went out to begin with.
But. And, you know, and some people that do want to catch more stuff, you know, there's, you know, if basically when you ended the season, let's say you want to be better next year or have it get better, your better season next year. And the thing is when you ended the season, if you don't make a change between now and starting the opening day, you're not going to be any better. Nothing's going to be any better. Yeah, you'll learn some stuff throughout the season, but you can't apply that till the next season necessarily. So, you know, it's like down to Iowa. I went and, you know, me and Sarah went out and set them, and then I went and set more snares along the roads for in the trails and stuff. Well, when I was down there, I started looking, and them trails are still visible where we were setting them traps. So you really could go out and start picking them trails out and marking them on the GPS. And then when season got here next year, them trails are there, you know? So, I mean, there are things that you can do right now, you know, to make it where, you know, you'll have a better season. So.
For sure. I mean, even getting your traps ready to go now instead of waiting until.
Is that like a hint to me?
I mean, I'm just throwing it out there that, you know.
That they're laying outside and.
They're still in the back of the truck.
Yeah. They are
you
still.
You haven't even unloaded them.
Well, season.
I mean, I'm not saying.
Season. It ain't even been a month since trapping season closed. Mm-hmm. They do need to be taken care of.
Right. I mean, summer's coming. Wax dirt making needs to happen. So that's something else to be mindful about is on a hot day, you know, get your stuff lined up, get your mindset lined up like you're going to do it, get the materials, whatever, however you want to make your wax dirt, you know, start having plans like that in place to have a better season.
Because you'll hear different times people say there's no secrets in trapping. And to some degree, that's true, but there are little tricks and stuff that you will pick up and make you better. You know, one thing is, you know, being ready to go when season starts. You know, so there are little things that you can do to make yourself better and more efficient out there than, you know, wait until opening day. And then you're like, oh, I got to dye and wax my traps and, you know, just having everything prepared.
Right. What's that saying? If you fail to plan to fail.
Yeah.
Because it is. It's so easy to say, oh, I'll wait till next year.
Yeah.
Things aren't ready to go. Then you start going down the excuses, going down the list. You're not ready. You don't have your stuff together. It's going to be too cold. Weather's going to be bad. The prices are low. Maybe next year.
But. Yeah, none of us know. There might not be a next, two seasons from now. You know, that's nothing's true. Guaranteed.
That's true.
So, I definitely, you know, in my seasons for next year or our season, you know, but. You know, I want to, you know, say like down to Texas, you know, there's things that I want to try down there still, you know, try more live traps, you know, and, you know, set more live traps and.
Oh, yeah, we've already joked. We're going to get, we'll be having a little buggy behind our side by side hauling all the live traps.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't have known how fun they were if we didn't try something new.
Yeah. Yep, it definitely is a lot of fun trying different things. And, you know, I mean, percentage-wise, you know, I mean, percentage-wise, we did better in the live traps than we did in anything, you know, percentage-wise.
Mm-hmm. You know, it took a while. I mean, sometimes you know in your mind, like, oh, things got to be blended in really good and. And the first trap we set, we just kind of threw it out there. I don't, you know, it was a hot day and we just kind of tossed it out there. And it looked, a couple days later, we went back and we're like, the thing looks pitiful. We got to fix it up, you know? And we went and took the trap. It was in a crappy spot, moved it to a better spot, blended it in better. And then we had a cat the next day. And, you know, I think that's, I mean, it was a good lesson that, you know, try your best when you're out there, but trying something new and
you put in. Usually, you're rewarded for the more effort that you actually do.
Good way to put it. Yeah,
you do something half-assed, you get half-assed results. Luckily for me in my life, that I've been pretty lucky that I didn't get the half-assed results. but generally, that's the case. I've been pretty lucky.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe, you know, like you said, I had never tried the live trap and you hadn't maybe focused specifically on setting it out and targeting it. And maybe that's something for somebody to set
What I didn't do with the live traps, I mean, I had gone and set live traps and stuff, even down to Texas when I was down there with Norm, using Norm's live traps. But what I didn't do was, if I found a great location, I didn't not set a foothold there. I would, you know, and then put the live trap there. You know, where we did that this time, we picked out a great location and, you know, put that live trap there.
Correct. I think there's something so sweet about that, is you go put the trap specific for that animal in that specific spot to catch it in that specific way, instead of by accident.
Yeah.
You know, there's something different to that.
Oh, there definitely is.
You know, kind of like when you're beaver trapping and you accidentally catch an otter. That doesn't make you necessarily an otter trapper. You just happen to catch an otter. You know, kind of thing.
Well, hear that all the time with cats, is that, you know, people say, oh, they're easy to catch. And, you know, because what they do is they go out and they'll set coyote sets, and then they'll accidentally catch, you know, a cat in their coyote set. And then they say, you know, they're easy to catch. Well, I can absolutely tell you that I mean, this year we got 140 cats, and I do not think the cats are easy to catch. How many on camera just walk right by your set and don't even give it a second look? You know, do stuff that you can't figure out why they're doing it. You know, I mean,
it's sickening.
Yeah, I mean, it's absolutely, it's crazy. So The thing is, but people go, trappers say, you know, basically consider themselves an otter trapper or a bobcat trapper if they catch one by accident. But the thing is I've never heard anybody, I heard it joking around, but not where they're serious. You know, I'm a possum trapper. Well, you catch possums by accident. Why aren't you a possum trapper? You know, I mean, technically it would be the same thing. And that's the thing is, you know, people shouldn't get in that mindset, because if you start thinking something is easy, then you don't learn everything you can learn. I mean, it's like down in Texas, neither one of us consider that it's easy to catch them.
No.
And so we're trying to learn every little detail that we possibly can, putting up cameras, looking for tracks, looking for scat, looking, you know, where are they traveling? You know, how are they crossing under the fences?
Because that's the thing. It's like, oh, well, it'd be pretty easy just to put a snare in the fence, and anything that crawls under there, you know, you're going to catch it. Wrong. Wrong. Well, so wrong to that.
Yeah, especially with that same thing where we got the video of them three bobcats going one right after another.
Right through the snare.
Right through the snare.
So, I mean,
And that thing's down to like, what? I don't know the inches, four or five inches.
Yeah, but I mean, before that, you know, that was pretty early on, and we had the loop tubing.
Yep.
And if we didn't have that camera on there, we would have never known that we had missed four cats there. So that's having a mindset that, oh, just put the snare there and you'll catch anything that goes through there. If we didn't have the camera on there, or if we weren't questioning how is this working, we would have never adjusted anything.
No. And the other thing, and the thing is, we still would have picked up cats, and we still would have picked up a lot of cats. But the ones that pushed it over the top was the ones that, you know, when we started adjusting by what we were seeing. Because I would have never, nobody would have known. If you didn't see a cat do it, because I've had people tell me, oh, it's the armadillos knocking them down. We had an armadillo go through a hole for like 7 or 8 nights in a row and never knocked the snare down. We had rabbits jump through them, never knocked them down. But when a bobcat comes in and your snare support is on one side and the edge of the snare is by that support, that cat likes to come in on that side and push that to the outside. Go on the inside and push to the outside for some reason.
I mean, which then just slides your lock right down to close your snare. So.
And then, you know, then they're through.
Right, they're through. So, you know, and then do you set the snare right on top of the fence? You know, up against the fence? Do you move the snare back 1 inch, 2 inches, 3 inches back as they're coming in or going out? Or do you just have the snare underneath the, completely underneath the fence, so there's no snare above the fence and it's all, like, there are so many things to think about just setting a snare under a fence.
Yep.
And that goes to your point, no matter what you're doing, if you're doing a dirt hole, there's 100 questions to think about other than, well, I set the trap this way. Well, you know, how deep was your hole? How far back was it? Is it in the right direction? Is it offset? Like, there are so many things. So no matter what you're doing, I think it's important to constantly be questioning yourself.
Yeah, because a lot of the stuff that, you know, was in, you know, been taught and talked about for years is, I mean, let's just call a spade, it's wrong. You know, they didn't have videos when they were coming up with a lot of these thought patterns, you know, and they were guessing the best way that they could. And, you know, but it's just, you know, some of the theories are just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And like we found out, I mean, I always thought them cats would be a little bit spooky. They're not spooky or nothing, you know. They just don't seem like they're scared of much. They just,
from what we experienced.
Yeah, from what we experienced, they don't seem to be, you know, spooky of much.
I mean, we have a trail camera on a snare, and the cats will walk right towards it. Almost every time the cat crossed the fence, under the fence, and went through the snare, mind you. A lot of these are cats we have missed. Went through the snare, under the fence, walked straight toward the camera, not scared at all. Coyote, on the other hand, walked just by the fence. Another coyote that we missed, walked by the fence on the other side, did not come through the crawl under, saw a camera, and we have older cameras that make a click or make the glow. Coyote, so spooked, completely gone out of there so fast in running. The frame, like, zoom, just yeah. Gone like lightning flash. Cats on the exact same camera walk right towards it.
Yeah, they were attracted to it.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the blinking light is something.
It's something.
Maybe the clicking is something.
Yeah, or both, you know. I mean, I don't know. All we could do is go and put Tacticams on all our sets. But,
you know, but maybe that is something too. Little glowing, flashing water balloon lights.
But that's the thing is on our failures is where we learned. You know, we've seen that we, you know, was failing, that the set was failing, and we tried to readjust what we could. I mean, some of the stuff wasn't possible, like, you know, the stands we had weren't the way we want. When we thought our snare supports were good for, and they were good, but it wasn't flexible enough. We need a more flexible piece of wire to go into, you know, the snare support to hold it in position and be able to manipulate it better. You know, but we changed what we could, and a lot of times, you know, when we started really blocking them holes down, you know, or, you know, making flashier sets with footholds, you know, we started doing a lot. I mean, we were doing good before, but it cut out a lot of that misses. We still had misses. Mm-hmm. You know, we still had walk-bys. Still had, like my cat that got out of the set, you know, right before we got there. We had this cat on camera. And
multiple days in a row.
Yep.
Where it would not commit. Finally, on a 90-degree day, Jeff gets out of the air conditioner and says, I'm going to do something. I don't know what. He gets out and he makes it from a very small dirt hole set into a tile spade, dig a big hole set. And that had been working at other places.
And, well, then it was on that, like, be like a T, And then I extended out those, the walkways, you know, the walkthrough set, you know, another probably 5 feet on each side. Mm-hmm. And then...
Then it's dark and the trail camera goes off on our phone. We go look. There's a cat walking by. Walks right on by the set. I'll be darned. We missed him again. He comes back.
But this time he was on the walkthrough. Oh, no, he does come back.
Yeah, he comes back. So we're like, you know, oh, man, we missed it. We missed another cat. Even after you fixed the set, we still missed the cat. And then he came back. He circled back around and was caught. And we were so excited. We were just ecstatic. 6 o'clock in the morning, alarms go off. Still got the cat. We're ready. About 7:15, I'd say we were ready. And we head out straight to the set, which, you know, is opposite of our trap line. We got to go get the cat. We're so excited. And we pull up at, like, what was it, like 8 minutes before we got there?
Well, we didn't see that, but I pull up there and I'm looking, and I'm like, this must be the wrong spot because there ain't no cat here. And all I see is my trap, and I'm like sitting there, not even able to comprehend this in my brain that this cat got out.
Because we literally left the house, and because the camera's going off on our phone, ding, 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 every time the cat moves. So we left the house, and we have no reception after we leave the house.
No.
So obviously nothing is dinging on our phone as we're driving to the set, which is not that far away. Nothing's on our phone dinging because we have no reception, so that wasn't a clue. And the cat had got out of the trap, like, right when we left the house.
Had a back foot catch, just, you know, probably by the toes and the offset, and he finally gave one lunge and he was gone. So but you gotta leave at least one breeding pair there, and that was my contribution.
Mm-hmm. Albert always says you gotta leave seed.
Yeah.
Leave seed for next year.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. I didn't want to leave that one for seed, mm-hmm. but and it's like, you know, you go to a lot of parts of the country, you know, you might catch a cat and be able to say, well, I caught that, you know, that was probably that same cat. Down there, there's, you know, too many cats, you'd have no idea if it was that cat or, but mm-hmm. I think that one headed for the hills, probably. But, no, it's definitely a lot of fun, you know, learning about stuff. And
you know, and that's the thing, is if you're looking at your season next year and you want to plan an out-of-state trip, you got to start lining that stuff up ahead of time. You know, in the next couple months, you've got to be thinking about, where do you want to go, how are you going to get there, what connections can you make. And you know, even if you want to, let's say, trap New York, make a trip out to the convention. If you're from Iowa and want to trap in New York, think about maybe going to their convention as to meet some people. I mean, that'd be one way you could build a friendship. And we know a lot of people that trap together just because they've met.
Yep.
You know, they go to North Dakota muskrat trapping because they met at a convention, you know, along the way, or built friendships that way.
Yeah, because it's way better to meet somebody in person and plan something and, you know somebody just on, say, Facebook, and then you're going to plan on something with somebody you ain't never met, and you don't even know if they even have, you know, they might only have one trap or no traps, or mm-hmm. be an axe murderer, you know, mm-hmm. you don't know.
Right, I mean, because that's how we went fisher trapping. I mean, you maybe had known Chappie before, but or had likely met him at a convention.
Yeah, I knew Chappie before.
And, but became good friends by going to conventions.
Yep.
And, you know, he invited us out there on his fisher line.
Yep.
So.
No, that's why I decided I don't really want to be a New York full-time fisher trapper. The country's rough. It's long walks to every single thing. Most of my trapping is designed when you open the door, you fall into your set. And if out in New York, that would be the way I would be trapping, but it wouldn't be effective. It, like Chappie does, you know, is effective. Because there wasn't one. He should at least, you know, gave me a gimme, you know, where we sat right by the, right, you know, didn't have to walk like 700 yards into every set.
There was none of that happening.
No.
We walk like 5 miles a day through up the mountains.
Yeah, we were averaging like 7 to 9. The one day it was like 12.
It's crazy.
And the first place we went, I seen this great big, like, mountain. And it had like a, a flat spot up on top along the edge. And I thought, you know what? Every damn cat or any predator is going to, that's where that is going to travel up on that edge. So that was like one of the first spots we set. And I went and all the way up that hill and set two traps up there. And then every day had to check them damn things. I wish I'd have never went up there and sat it. We never caught shit. Didn't catch shit.
No, you didn't.
And I'm usually, if I set, it was a blind sets I put up there too.
And so, while you were doing that across the road,
yeah, you
guys, the three of us were over there and somebody didn't pin the tree on the GPS. Well, we were using Onyx and somebody didn't pin the tree. And, like, it's the forest. It's the, I don't know what they call it. Swampy forest. I don't know what it is. But every tree starts to look alike. And then we go back the next day to check the Fisher box. And we can't find it. Because it's not pinned. And we walked and walked and walked in circles for I don't know how long. Oh, my gosh. Some crazy trapping.
Ended up catching a fisher on that side and a great big boar coon, too. Mm. That's where Donald, he got caught in a trap and I got it on video. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. Donald was setting the trap and I was going to take his picture setting the trap. And that 220 went off and got him. He says, help. I'm just keep right on taking pictures. Yeah, there's no help. But, yeah, if you want to have a better season, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things you can do yourself. But, you know, like, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, there's lots of schools out there you can go to. You know, I mean, you know, people that, you know, we'll take you, you know, to the next level. And that's not something we do. You know, we had to school, but I don't do that. We don't do that anymore. And we really ain't got no desire. Zero desire.
We would be glad to help you any way we can. You send us a message, give us a call, shoot us a text, yep. Send us an email, Facebook message, TikTok message, Instagram message. See us at a convention. Come up to our booth. We are glad to help you any way we can.
Except for have a school.
Yeah, we're not going to do that, but we're glad to help you any other way.
Any other way.
And if you're interested in the women...
You can't pay us for our help.
Yep, just buy a bottle of lure. That means more to us than anything.
Yeah, no, we'd rather just... it's not anything against anybody else. I personally just didn't... I never liked doing the... school and, you know, charging people, you know, to help them. You know, it's a lot of them people I knew. And, you know, it was just my personal choice. And I just didn't like it. I didn't like it from, you know, the first time. Mm-hmm. It's not my thing.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
You know, but I mean, there's a lot of good trappers out there have schools. I mean, mm-hmm. Brian Nelson and Matt Jones, you know, they have that ride along and, you know, both them guys, you know, can catch a lot of stuff. Zagger's got Coyote U.
Can you believe he still has Coyote U going?
No, I can't believe that.
Just kidding.
No, I can't believe it. Mm-hmm. Every year he said, this is going to be my last year. Mm-hmm. But no, but you know, I mean, just go out and hang out with Brian and especially Matt Jones. I mean, get to ride around with Matt, or Zagger. I mean, whatever they're charging, it'd be worth going doing it.
Mm-hmm. I'm involved in the Wisconsin Women's Camp, and if you're interested in that, you can let me know. I can add you to the waiting list. But we have, I don't know, there's over 100 people on the waiting list. So if something you're interested in, let me know. I'll get you on the list. But it's a lot of fun.
That would be fun for, like you'd said, it would be fun for guys. I would like to be involved in something like that where, basically it's just, you're paying enough to cover the food or whatever. And, it's just basically a fun thing,
Mm-hmm.
Basically where I'm not under the gun. But that women's camp does sound like a lot of fun.
Yeah, I should do a show on talking just specifically about the camp and kind of how we have ran that and the success that we've seen.
Yeah.
At that camp and the friendships that we've made and the learning and growth and community that we're building over there is pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's awesome. I mean, just to see how tight all them women are together on everything, I mean.
Yeah, they're definitely becoming some of my best friends. I mean, I talked to one today, and I was telling her how busy we were here in the shop, and she lives in Minnesota, and specifically it's a 10-hour drive, and she said, if you need help, Sarah, I will be there tomorrow. I'll drive 10 hours to help you, and she's got 3 little kids and a husband, but she was willing, just to drop everything and drive here to help put t-shirts in a bag.
Was she going to bring the kids with her?
They're welcome to come if they would like. I love having littles around. She's got some cuties too, so.
No,
great network.
It's definitely, it's pretty awesome for me to see, the whole system, or I don't know what to call it.
Community, I think.
That they have with mm-hmm. the Wisconsin Women Trappers Camp, Because I really don't know of any other thing like that.
No.
Men or women.
No. Nope. There's been some trainings, if you will, that are kind of targeted toward women, but not a community like we're building.
Yeah. No, it's pretty awesome, and I never ever have seen where a woman, says, "You know what? I'm not going to trap next year because prices are down." I've never ever had one of them tell me that.
No.
They just doing it because they love it. They love being outdoors, So I think it's pretty awesome. But. Well, I better go scrape them bobcats. They're not going to scrape themselves. Maddie sure as hell ain't going to do them.
Maddie has been a great help. I mean, bless her heart, she was over there turning bobcats and getting them down with borax and pinning them to the boards. And so she's willing to help.
She's willing to help. Yep. She's good help. Yep, she ain't her grandma, but she's good help.
Grandma works here too. So. Yep. So we're back to work?
We're back to work.
All right.
I wish I could promise that we'd be better at doing these, but...
We can't.
I would be lying to you.
So until next time.
Next time.